We usually think of displaced people being the result of war or of persecution, but there exists a far bigger world population that is being displaced because of climate change. The tragedy is that while most governments have laws to protect people from prosecution and war, they are currently unprepared to provide shelter, food, and protection for the people displaced by natural disasters. It's clear that climate refugees are not only a social and humanitarian problem, they are also a national security risk. Tomorrow night, UC Davis is screening the award-winning documentary Climate Refugees, which looks at these issues. And my next guests are the producer of the documentary, Justin Hogan, and the sponsor of the screening, UC Davis Professor David Kyle. Welcome both of you to Insight.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be here.
Justin, you are the producer of the documentary. What drove you to make it?
Well, about 4 years ago, about 4.5 years ago, the director and myself read an article that the United Nations University out of Japan had put out, and it stated that the world currently had 25 million climate refugees. And at that point, I had never even heard of those two words actually being put together.
Mm-hmm.
So we started doing some research, and we found that this was a growing problem, but there really wasn't a center for it. We enlisted some amazing executive producers that, you know, had the same type of belief that we did, and we set about on a global journey that took us 2.5 years to film in search of the truth and what was happening in our world and what climate change was actually doing in terms of affecting people and causing mass displacement.
Now, we hear about places like the Maldives or maybe Venice as being vulnerable, low-lying, on the ocean areas, but this is a much, much bigger problem than that you're talking about.
Well, it is. I mean, it's certainly a problem that affects third world countries in a huge way. Certainly Bangladesh is a classic example of a country that is barely above sea level and is devastated by growing storms. But also in our own country here, with Katrina, we saw a tremendous amount of people leave New Orleans and settle in other areas, and up to 300,000 haven't even returned yet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something that affects not just third world countries, but also other developing nations, and certainly the United States.
Now, you mentioned Bangladesh, and Bangladesh also has an issue, I think, with increased flooding coming from up rivers where there's deforestation or maybe you have increased rainfall. My point is that there are an awful lot of different components to any particular tragedy, it seems. How do you sort of tease out what is a climate problem that is directly traceable to global warming or climate change?
Well, I mean, that's a very good question. And, you know, what we found was certainly as we've been tracking, the increase in storms, erosion, more flooding, what we're seeing is different climate patterns occurring throughout the world that didn't occur beforehand. So, what we were able to do is go to specific areas and actually find that because of the climate changing and what it was causing was this displacement. So it is a little bit of a, kind of opinionated topic, but we were able to really track it and pinpoint it.
Mm-hmm. It's Justin Hogan. He is producer of the new documentary Climate Refugees, which is going to be shown tomorrow night at UC Davis, and we'll have information on that on our website. Also here in the studio is UC Davis Professor David Kyle. You are not a climatologist. You deal in the movements of populations around the globe. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And so whatever the source of the problem is, these people, huge numbers of people are moving around. In fact, I thought I saw in 2011 it said there were going to be 50 million. Justin just mentioned 25 million. What's the scale of this movement and what's the nature of it?
It's something very hard to quantify. The numbers that are being thrown out range from 50,000 and then projections into the future of up to 1 billion people by 2050. I had a State Department official come up to me a couple of years ago and basically whisper into my ear, is it true that we will have 1 billion people by 2050 moving around the planet? And he was quite worried. And I said that the main thing is that you believe that, not whether it's true or not. And I think that we're in this situation right now where it's the perception and the projections of these numbers that are actually most important, because that drives policy. So the numbers drive it. It's very hard to figure out what the actual numbers are. I think the important thing is to look at stories and not statistics. And that's what this film does such a great job of doing. For example, you mentioned Katrina. It's not so much the case that hurricanes, even strong hurricanes, are new. I'm from that region. Mm-hmm. In fact, I had my grandmother's and my great-grandmother's house lost to Katrina.
Oh, really?
But one-third of New Orleans never really returned. That's what's new. It's the permanent displacement of people, even in our own country. Of course, around the world, it's the most vulnerable people who don't have the means to even relocate somewhere. Where will they go mm-hmm. on a planet that's covered by private property and nation states?
Is it true that the 'cause in New Orleans, a lot of the most affected areas were also just maybe not coincidentally the poorest areas of New Orleans, like the Ninth Ward, some of the areas uptown and places like that. Is it that poorer people tend to be clustered in the most vulnerable areas?
That's part of it. Part of it is also just the infrastructural investment is simply not there. So New Orleans, it wasn't simply Katrina. It was the pumps mm-hmm. that didn't work. It mm-hmm. was the lack of available infrastructure that was working properly. We may have a very similar challenge here in the Sacramento Delta.
I was just going to say that.
And, you know, it's not that dissimilar to where we live right here.
Mm-hmm. And when you're studying this, do you get out a lot and look at these groups, or is it more you're looking at things on maps?
Increasingly, I am. I just got back from India, a 2.5-week trip to India, which I saw lots of affected areas, and we're building a global network, several trips to Mexico. I'm working a lot in that country, and we're just seeing increasingly new phenomena, for example, landslides in areas of Oaxaca, Mexico, that had not been there. Now, one half of Oaxaca is very desertified, deforested.
Right.
That's
desert
been an old standard. Yeah, but even in the most kind of lush, forested areas, we're now seeing landslides simply due to increased rains. That's a new phenomenon.
Now, one of the points of the movie, which I have not seen, but I've seen some of the trailers and read about it, it sounds like the military, the State Department, the very let's say most serious parts of our government are starting to really take this seriously. What's that about, and what effect is that having, Justin?
Well, I mean, they are. I mean, if you think about it, if people don't have water, if they don't have food, you know, the water to grow the food, I mean, they're going to move. And as they move, as David said, we have national borders now. So we have these nation states, and they cross borders, and conflict arises. So the Pentagon, the people that we met with and we talked with, are looking at this as a very, very serious, serious threat, as opposed to war with China, actually the number two issue that's going on right now in our government. So it's being looked at very seriously, and there's already things that are being putting into place to safeguard it.
Yes, David Kyle.
Yeah, let me follow up on that to say that right, what they call it is a threat multiplier. In other words, those existing political and resource hotspots around the world will only intensify. So you take, for example, the glacier melt in Tibet. That feeds into six major Asian rivers across from Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, and China. Mm-hmm. As they dry up, you get both lack of water, but also because they're melting earlier in the season, you get periodic floods as well, so you kind of get both. That supplies roughly half of the world's populations, or it could impact half of the globe's population, just those areas alone. Areas that already have high levels of migration and high levels of political conflict with religious differences.
And we could do a whole hour of this, and I'm afraid we're already out of time. This is a huge subject, but we do have links and video on our website, capradio.org/insight. And thank you, Justin Hogan and David Kyle. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio. Coming up, Nick Brunner in Austin.